Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me today, as always, is my co-host RJ Sines.
I'm the human kazoo.
Kazoo, go for it.
No, I mean, like, if I was an instrument, that's all I could be.
Can you make your noise?
No, I don't sound like a kazoo.
Oh, you just are a kazoo.
The human equivalent of a kazoo.
Like, you're an emotional kazoo.
Yes.
People just use you.
I don't know if I would go that far, but...
Sorry, I didn't know how far the metaphor went.
I just thought it was, like, pretty annoying. Yeah. But thanks, I feel really good about myself.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and, are fortune cookies actual fortunes, or are they just kind of obscure nice things to say?
I feel like there can be some pretty spot-on fortunes, Ben.
I feel like most of my fortunes are just backhanded compliments. It's like, it'll be like, you can make it if you try. Like, what? Are you implying that I'm not trying?
If you try for once in your life, you dumb piece of crap.
Or no, the best one, I literally just got this one. It said, A, it's a song. B, it's backhanded. Smile like you mean it. I was like, oh.
I do mean it.
I have been meaning it.
What do you mean, cookie? Don't judge me.
Oh my gosh. Yes, today we are talking about Judd Apatow.
Who's that?
He's a, let me tell you about him. But before I do tell you about him, do you want to tell me about what's your latest tattoo about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to set you up. I don't know if you would just get into the intro like
not away. Not yet.
Like, wait, RJ, no, we don't do this part of the show yet. Yeah, actually, didn't we get a request like a long time ago?
From our good friend. I can't remember his name.
Carl Marx.
Yeah.
From the grave. Great whale mail back when.
Great listener. He just listens.
Yeah. Big fan.
Doesn't say much. He just
big whaler.
Listens.
Big whaler.
All right.
Some comedy news. Just got the tattoo for it. Mike Schur has two new comedies in development at NBC. You know, that channel on the television set.
Oh, I've never heard of it. Yeah.
So, in case you don't know Mike Schur, the guy behind Office, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and The Good Place. But, by the way, have you seen... Bitch, by the way. Which, by the way, you seen The Good Place?
You okay?
That's just a really funny word mix up.
I haven't. I know the guy.
Kristen Bell.
The guy that's in it. Yeah, Kristen Bell and
John
Wiggy Lith- Wiggy McGee. No, he
not John Lithgow. That's The Crown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
Good pull.
You know that's a wig?
No.
Wow. So I called him Wiggy McGee.
Could have fooled me.
I really took a stab at who he is as a person.
Yeah. Anyways, Good Place is pretty good. Saw a couple episodes. I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, excellent.
Anyways, so Mike Schur is working on two new shows. One is a musical comedy set in New York City, which is co-produced by one of the Hamilton guys, Jeff Seller. Right. Okay. So could be promising.
Wow,
everyone
yeah.
loves music and comedy. As
and
we
no one's
all know.
Ever, no one's ever done musicals in New York City. That's like groundbreaking.
Super groundbreaking. Might be stepping on some Jets and Sharks feet. I don't know. Second show is set in an unlicensed bar. Get this. A woman. Get this.
Ooh.
Runs. Get this. Out of her backyard.
Wow.
Get this. In hell. <Just kidding. laughs> Nah, it sounds cool.
It's not in hell.
Get this, they're all dead.
Can you imagine though? Do you have a backyard in hell?
No, I mean I hope so, but no, I thought you meant like, could you imagine running a bar out of your backyard?
No,
because that's what the show is about. And
I just think that's a funny like comedic concept. Like, do you get a house? Do you get like a mortgage in hell?
You probably have a mortgage you can't get out from under.
Can't get out of it.
And they keep raising the premiums. And for some reason, things just keep breaking.
That's hilarious.
But anyways.
No matter how much you mow your lawn, it just never is mowed.
No, it's all just like disheveled and
yeah,
like,
exactly.
spotty.
Yeah.
Crabgrass everywhere.
Oh,
we're old.
Hell.
We're old.
All right. Yeah.
But a bar in your backyard. It sounds like a fun time, right?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Hey, come get a drink, and you can't do it legally, but you can because it's my backyard and no one will see.
Is there any names attached to it?
No names yet. This is all like brand new green lit promos.
Well, who would you want to see be the bartender?
The bartender.
Like a Amy Schumer, like a Lisa Kudrow,
I want to see Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
Maya Rudolph as like the person who's decided, you know what? I'm going to make a bar in my backyard. I don't care what anybody says. And just like does that. Yeah. I think, I don't know. I love Maya.
I'd love to see Maya get some success.
Yeah. I was going to say Tina Fey, but she's actually now in that news show.
Good news.
Good news. I knew it.
Yeah, you did. You said it and you didn't even know it.
So anyways, not Tina, Maya. Go with Maya.
Tina Maya.
Anyways, that's the TV news,
interesante. Well, that's some pretty good stuff.
Thank you.
Glad to see that the fresh tattoo is setting in.
It still stings.
Emotionally? Or?
No, it could be poison, I think.
Where do you get them done?
Oh, a backyard unlicensed bar. Hey!
In hell,
there we go.
All right, so we are talking about Judd Apatow per the request of a classic whaler that we don't remember his name.
Oh, Karl Marx.
Yeah, Karl Marx. But it's okay. Let me give you some brief history on Judd Apatow. At the age of 15, the Long Island native landed a dishwashing job at the East Side Comedy Club. He would make just enough money to pay for his cab fare to and from work. Why? Just to catch a glimpse of comics like Eddie Murphy and Jay Leno. This would make perfect sense as a lifestyle choice for a teenager who spent his childhood obsessing over the Marx Brothers and every stand-up comedian that performed on The Tonight Show. Judd would devote all of his energy into comedy and comedians, starting a radio show in high school and getting interviews with comedians like a young Jerry Seinfeld. Judd would eventually have his own go at stand-up comedy, writing for comedy TV, and producing The Ben Stiller Show. From there, the list goes on of the countless postmodern American comedies that have impacted an entire generation of comedians. The Larry Sanders Show, Freaks and Geeks, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Bridesmaids, Anchorman, Pineapple Express, Step Brothers, Superbad, The Cable Guy. Judd has had his hand in all of the best comedies.
He really has. And that's the crazy thing. If you start going through his IMDb page, you think like, oh, like, you know, you don't see his face necessarily on a poster.
Yeah.
But he's the one putting faces on posters. Yeah. He's the one who's behind stand-up specials. He's the one behind so many of these movies. And the more you look into it, the more you realize how his vision really has like impacted so much of 21st century comedy. It's ridiculous.
Do you remember Heroes?
The television show set in modern America where a solar eclipse happens and then people get superpowers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Okay. In that show, there was a guy who got his powers, I think late in the show, actually. But he was friends with the main time travel guy.
Hiro Nakamura?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his friend's name? Anyway.
Ando.
Yeah. Yes. Ando. Yes.
Yes.
Do you remember his power set eventually?
Wasn't it that he could somehow like move matter?
He could supercharge other people's abilities.
Oh yeah. So he could like super jump like backwards and forwards in time with
right.
Hiro.
Like if Hiro is going like doing his thing and then Ando would help like he would like shock him or like touch
Ando.
Him. And then they would be like it would be like crazy easy for him to do it or something.
Yeah.
That's Judd.
Yeah.
Judd is the supercharger to people like Adam Sandler, to people like I almost said Jeff Dunham. I don't know why.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, Ben Stiller. What's his name? Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen.
You have to do the voice to remember the name.
Yeah. Like all those people, like he just like Burchell. Yeah.
I don't think that's his last name, but I think I know who you're talking about.
That is his last name.
Okay, so many names.
Yeah, so I just feel like he is so good at just like supercharging talent.
Yeah.
He's like, that's what he does.
Complimenting and also providing, Yeah, Baruchel, I think.
Baruchel?
Yeah, why are we still on this?
We got to get his name right. This is the comedy podcast, RJ.
Not pronunciation podcast.
So? You got to know who they're talking about.
I don't know.
Haven't you heard of How to Train Your Dragon?
How to Train Your Dragon.
That's a good J.
Yeah, it's not bad. What's his other thing he says? What's his name? My name's Hiccup, and I'm a sad kid who can't find dragon.
That's good. That's not bad.
Okay, enough of that.
He's in This Is the End.
You're right. Which he's is great.
The end.
That is the end for sure. But just supercharging these comedians, and I especially in recent memory, he's worked hand in hand with Pete Holmes in creating his new show Crashing. Yeah. He's an executive producer. And even just hearing Pete talk in length about what a great mentor, comedic mentor that Judd mm-hmm. has been, it's so evident to me what role Judd has played in the great movies like Anchorman, Bridesmaids, 40-Year-Old Virgin, like all yeah. these awesome staples of 21st century comedy. Like, oh, wow. Like, there's actually someone who's continuously providing help and comedic reference for.
Yeah.
Solid.
Pretty amazing.
It is amazing, Ben. We should just leave it at that. Do
you know why he's funny, though?
That's what I was getting to. We should just get into that question, Ben.
Get into it, Rage.
All right. Folks, hold on tight and listen closely at the same time. Because Judd Apatow is funny. Because he knows where comedy has been and he knows where it is going. He has successfully ushered in a whole new era of comedy that looks at itself less seriously and at the same time recognizes the humanity of it all. Never before was there comedies that had gut-wrenching belly laughs over vulgar and grotesque topics, all while grounding these issues in a real world with real people. The subtle little laughs over male bonding or awkward conversations make for a huge payoff because the audience can identify with the realness of Judd's comedy. Judd can bring a unique sense of identity for a film, TV show, or character, and that shows in all of his work. Right, we just talked about all the different things that he's done. Yet, even though you can point out some similarities and threads where you go, oh, I could see Judd's hand in that, mm-hmm. and that's kind of this thing, it's still so uniquely its own thing. Like, right. even just talking about the movies that Judd directed, like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Funny People, those are all still like uniquely their own thing. But when Absolutely. You think about, for instance, like the Will Ferrell sports movies, the Anchorman kind of underdog films or whatever, yeah. those are all very similar in style and approach, even delivery. But I feel like the movies that specifically Judd just is straight Judd directing, they're all still so unique. And,
yeah,
and that shows in all the stuff he works in.
No, I know. That's why I like gave him that little supercharger thing because that's what he does. He doesn't take on, you know, like a style and impress it upon the actors or comedians. He just like supercharges their natural abilities and stuff like that. Like that's not easy, you know, and just as needed as, you know, original, crazy, talented comedians, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that he's been able to work with so many crazy, talented comedians. I mean, here's a guy who's so obsessed about comedy,
right?
Like our little history, like doesn't do him justice because the interviews, the articles, and there's a whole book that he's written called Sick in the Head, which just catalogs years of interviews that he had gotten since he was 17.
Yeah.
Like, could you even imagine?
You really can tell that this guy is just a sponge.
Yeah.
You know, he soaks up the comedy.
Oh, yeah. And what's so interesting is not only is he soaking it all up, but similar with what you were saying about what he can do with other comics, he's not letting all that soaking up like not make it his voice.
Right.
Like he knows where it's been and he knows where comedy is going in this new era and just ushering in like so many unique voices like in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think like he's so obsessed and that's what makes it so amazing at the same time.
I really like the guy. We listened to interview with him and Joe Rogan.
Right.
And it really seems like he's not like, I know what I'm doing. let me do it.
Right.
He really seems like, I'm figuring this out.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you advance anything. I mean, comedy especially, but like, I really feel like he has this openness about him. Like, well, this is how I've been doing it, but how do you do it? Let's work together. And I'm open. Like,
right.
let's get it done. But like, I'm open to the process. And I really respect that about him, that he's not like, I don't know, like a crew wreck or something that's like, I have to do it this way.
Yeah, he seems, and I think it shows in a lot of his style too, this kind of tentative, unsured kind of life where he's like, I'm not worthy, like I just kind of have, like I get it, but like I think I'm funny, I'm gonna try to do this thing, it makes sense to me. And like, I even think about how like conversations go in like Knocked Up or like even Super Bad, like mm-hmm. kind of awkward, kind of clunky conversations sometimes that are hard to have. Like, I see so much of that in Judd, just like, he's not always like so sure of himself, but he's sure of what he knows.
Right.
And he's confident in the comedy that he's learned from. So like, yeah, even speaking to that interview and so many others like it, he has such a, like a humility about where he's come from, but at the same time, like no one else has done that.
Right.
So I always think like, okay, how are you able to stay so humble and yet say at the same time, like, yeah, every night for almost my entire high school life, I spent working doing dishes at a comedy club just so I could maybe get a glimpse of Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, so you've been devoting your whole life and then making radio shows and interviewing like so many greats like Norman Lear and freaking Gary Shandling, Young Jerry, like all these awesome comedians. And you get to a point, now he's like in his 50s and he's like, had a very lucrative career, and he goes, yeah, I'm still figuring it out, like there's just a lot of things that are interesting to me still, and you know, it's all about just moving forward and just trying to listen to who you're working with. And you're like, what? Like, how are you not, like, you are the dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's many other I don't want to say comedians, but comedic voices of our generation that have impacted this much.
I know, yeah.
Like, we could think about maybe, like, Adam McKay, like, Will Ferrell, arguably Lorne Michaels. He's definitely a generation older, I would say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, think of guys in their 50s and 60s who have done so much. Like, I mean, Conan's in that age bracket, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot. We just talked about him not too long ago.
No, yeah, he's very, like, widespread reaching. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah. So let's kind of look into some of this reach and like where we see Judd in this. I mean, he's got so many solid movies that he's worked in. I think a movie that we've recently just talked about on our podcast, which is personally one of my favorite episodes just because we do a Seth Rogen impression like the whole time.
Oh, what the hell? What's going on? Everybody get out of here.
Like, it's just fun. But Pineapple Express is like, and I just love the relationship that Judd has with like Seth Rogen.
Uh-huh.
Oh gosh, I always forget his, Seth Rogen's like BFF writer buddy.
Oh yeah.
We'll come back to it.
Sure.
I know his name. Anyways, so I love the relationship that Judd has with those guys, and his, like you said, his ability to supercharge them. But the thing that I see is the Freaks and Geeks. So he worked with Seth back in, you know, way back when during Freaks and Geeks, and just displaying like that realness. So even in Pineapple Express, a really over the top, super kooky, goofball action, blah blah blah. There's these weird kind of like unique moments of just like, this is how the world actually works, even though it's, you know, this guy just got shot and, you know, you're smoking weed and it's all crazy. Like, these weird ones, what are you talking about, dude? I don't know where I'm freaking out. And it's just like, there's a still like just grounded in a reality that other comedies make it seem like, oh, this is all fake, this is all make-believe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he really brings out a really good performance in James Franco in that, because he, James, is the like connection to reality in that. It's Evan Goldberg.
Yes, you're so right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, I think in that movie, James is like the tie to reality. Even though his character is very outlandish.
Yeah.
it's also very grounded.
Well, I mean, and there's so many things like in that movie that I think we've talked about in that episode, like that it doesn't do like a quick cut to like at the end of the scene, like if something happens, like someone gets shot, like it stays on there, like, oh, I'm shot.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts. Like comedy or even action adventures, people get shot and then boom, on to the next thing. We don't care about them.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, you have to deal with the damage that's been done. There's people who are hurt. There's people who keep getting
hospital
visits, like, you know, all
Danny McBride.
Troubles with the relationships, like the whole time, like Seth Rogen's juggling a relationship with like his like teenage girlfriend
and her parents.
And her parents.
That's so good.
Yeah. And I feel like that relationship aspect, Judd does such a good job working with. I mean, you look at movies like Knocked Up, This Is Us, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
That 40-Year-Old Virgin, I think, was his first kind of
directorial debut.
Yeah. Kind of like breakout. I can't remember. There was part of the interview in Joe Rogan where he's talking to someone and they were like, hey, you give me the script and I'll greenlight it. He's like, what? Like, you already have that much faith in me? And he gave him like the first 90 pages and they're like, yep, greenlighted.
Yeah.
He's like, what? Okay. And he just like that movie, I remember feeling like, man, this movie kind of came out of nowhere. Like,
oh, totally did.
Like, what is this like new perspective on comedy? And it's just so fresh. It's something new.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, a Steve Carell too, this like putting him on the poster that I don't think he had been on before. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't that much of a blockbuster hit until that point, I don't think. I mean, certainly he did work before, but I just feel like that really put him on the map of stardom. And that was, yeah. And that's, and so like I said, like all those movies do such a good job talking about relationships and comedy. Because like we've said before, there's that realness, that tension of like, you know, we can have like a funny fight argument in a comedy, but it's still important because we're talking about like, I don't love you anymore. Like, what do you mean you don't love me anymore? Like, because you looked at me weird back then. I feel like you just hate me. Like, no, I don't hate you. Like, everything's fine. Like, quit being a drama queen. Like, stuff like that where it's like he can bring in this element of levity and depravity, if you will. But at the same time, ground it. Like I said, it seems like something that I have experienced.
Yeah.
Freaks and Geeks, and Love, the show that he does on Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is so solid. We've blown through the last season so fast. It's really funny, really fresh, and it's all about this relationship and trying to find love and maintain it. And it's not like as ridiculously over the top funny, but it's like all subtle, subtle comedy, subtle relationship things. Yeah, I've definitely belly laughed a couple times, but it's all just so entrancing in that way. You know what I mean?
That was good.
And I feel like he does that in a lot of his movies. It was like, oh, I'm interested in this character.
Right.
Not just as a comedic vehicle.
Yeah. Like, Freaks and Geeks was kind of the intro to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested in what these people are besides a joke.
Right.
Like, this is an interesting character. There's more dimensions than just, oh, you're a nerd. Oh, you're a hot girl. Oh, you're a jock. Like, oh, there's a lot more elements to this. And yeah, I don't personally, like, it's one of those things where, I mean, he had so much experience like writing for like Larry Sanders Show and, you know, interviewing comedians who had done like big kind of shows like that. But it's funny, you think like, so he was basically just interviewing comedians and was able to develop this understanding of relationships and like this realness, but all he really did was just like observe the human interactions around him and go from there.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Any other movies that you feel like really stick out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think two really big kind of turning points for him is Knocked Up and Superbad.
Yeah,
I remember both of those just like really left field movies, like Knocked Up.
Yeah.
Like, it's right there in the title. Like, you're like, oh, we're going to be dealing with this? Really? Okay, yeah.
I'm on board.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's just like, like you said, real in-depth characters. Like, not just one-dimensional, but way more than that.
Right.
And like, just going through a process together and just, like, figuring out all the intricacies that come with that. I feel like he really does a good job of exploring the details that I think a lot of times just get overlooked.
Right.
You know, going to the ultrasound together.
And like, yeah, and that's the
funny
weird thing.
Situation there.
Like I kind of talked about in that thesis, like these extreme vulgar moments mm-hmm. of like awkward silence comedy, which like I feel like kind of comes from like a Mel Brooksian era of like, you know, kind of offensive, you know, blue letter kind of comedy. And then he also puts this perspective of like, hey, it's okay to be like in these moments because they actually happen. Like, it doesn't have to be some over-the-top thing. Like, we could be having, like, an ultrasound and, like, have awkward conversation with the doctor. And that's really funny and vulgar and gross and difficult to deal with at the time. I love that. I think that's Ken Jeong is the doctor in that scene.
Oh, yes, you're so right.
He's solid.
And then Superbad.
Oh, yeah.
Another, like, total game changer. It's just, it's like, I don't even fully know if I can describe what the plot is. Like, just a couple of guys trying to get notice. Like,
yeah.
And but it's so good. It becomes an adventure, right? It just gets out of hand. But
just like Pineapple Express.
Exactly. But it's very much grounded in the characters and who they are and what their motivations are, you know?
Right. And I always say, you know, I didn't see it then, but I definitely see it now. Superbad is a show about, I mean, it's a show. It's a movie about friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It's about these two friends, and they're going to be graduating, and like, what's at stake for the rest of their lives, and they don't know any better, but they find some way to express care about each other in like unique little ways, and it's just interesting, I think, conversation that not, you know, when you get big budget blockbusters, the pitch isn't, all right, so listen up, there's these two friends, right, and they like are best friends since forever, but here's the thing. They're male, so they don't talk about it so much. What if there's a movie where they, like, have a normal weekend and tell each other they care about each other? And the execs are like, yeah, greenlit. Let's go. Let's freaking do this.
Listen to just, like, the synopsis of it. Two codependent high school seniors are forced to deal with separation anxiety after their plan to stage a booze-soaked party goes awry.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, yeah, two, like, very dependent friends are separated.
Yeah.
How do they deal?
Yeah.
That's the pitch.
Yeah.
So good. Throw in McLovin.
But, I mean, that's the funny thing. In retrospect, oh, it's such a good pitch, but I cannot imagine, like, convincing someone right now. Like, in Hollywood, in this day and age, if your name isn't Judd Apatow, you're doing a sequel or a reboot or a rehash.
Sure, yeah.
There's, like, think about it. I was already looking forward toward, I mean, not looking forward, but like thinking about how we're going to do best of 2017 comedy. There's none. It's so empty. Like, if you look at the list of comedies that have come out in cinemas in 2017, so few. Why? Because it doesn't make money. Why? Because we ran out of reboots. You can't just keep rehashing Hangover. You can't just keep doing a sequel of Dumb and Dumber. And so unless your name is Judd Apatow, like, you couldn't pitch that right now and be like, so yeah, I really think to have like an interesting dialogue about male bonding and friendship at a unique time in adolescence, they'd be like, get the hell out of my office. Like, what are you doing? Who are you, Judd Apatow? Next.
No, you're so right. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of his last like things that he's been having his hands in is all TV.
Yeah. TV is where comedy is right now, people. If you don't believe me, ask the dishes. All right?
But here's twist. This is 2017, and this is the latest thing. The Big Sick, I thought,
solid.
Was such a good flick. It's so fun. It's so ups and downs. I mean, it's same classic Judd. It's him supercharging someone else. It's
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes, thank you so much. I was so scared trying to but he takes his life story and just punches it up for a movie, and it is so good. It's about boy meets girl, boy likes girl, they break up, she goes into a coma.
Yeah.
Twist. But then the best is boy has to win over the girl's parents.
Ray Romano.
Who's Kermit the Frog and Stretchy Girl from The Incredibles.
What's up?
Stretchy Girl? Mrs. Incredible?
Mrs. Incredible sounds like Kermit the Frog?
No, Holly Hunter is Mrs. Incredible.
Oh! I thought you were saying people that Ray Romano sounds like. I was like, buddy, you're way off. I mean, I don't mean to call you out mid-pod, but I know who Kermit the Frog sounds like. It's not Mrs. Incredible.
No, you're right.
No, yeah, Holly Hunter, you're so right. And that's, gosh, what a great little film. And it's not like, you know, again, who can pitch that these days? Kumail Nanjiani, like, I would say one of the better up-and-coming stand-ups right now. He's been on Silicon Valley. He's definitely making a name for himself, especially with this movie,
yeah,
being the main director and creator behind it. But Judd has to be there in the pitch meeting to be like, yes, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 100% green light this,
yeah,
right now. Because, I mean, other than, like, little independent films, like, I can't imagine studios trying to pick up a story like that, even as important as it is for, yeah, how we look at our world and the tragedy and the relationships in it.
And family and religion dynamics of,
right,
relationships and
racial tensions.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe this is where we, I mean, like I said, I really feel, honestly, like Judd has a great finger on the pulse of where comedy's going.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think maybe he could be someone to help usher in this new wave of more independent movies made by comics, made by smaller filmmakers who can have a unique voice in this, in now what I would say is maybe even a dead kind of field.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not getting the big comedy blockbusters we were 10 years ago.
Well, that's the hope, because you're right. This, The Big Sick, is not a big comedy blockbuster, and it did not bring in blockbuster money. So hopefully, because it is genuinely a really good movie.
Right.
You should go see it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Hollywood's going to be like, yeah, let's keep,
this isn't going to make us
movies that people have to convince other people to go see.
Exactly. We want movies with a big star that we can put on a poster and have guaranteed 10 jokes that are all going to be in the movie, also in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. He's also in this movie, but I, just thinking about the future and stuff like that, I hope Judd's next project is working with Bo Burnham.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that'd,
yeah,
be so fun, like a origin story of Bo Burnham or whatever.
Well, I would be interested. I mean, I love Bo Burnham. I love a lot of the comedy he does. I mean, he's so big on music. I would love, like, even more, like, variety sketch, like, because
he
just has so many little different, like, pocket ideas. He was really hilarious on Vine. Rest in peace. Vine, not Bo. And really, really hilarious little bits here and there. I feel like he could really make, like, the next, like, wave of digital Saturday Night Live in, yeah, a lot of ways. But anyways, yeah, this is a unique time in comedy, especially for movies, where there's just nothing coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, what did we have this year? The House? Remember that? Amy Poehler, Will Ferrell? I didn't see it yet.
Yeah, I know.
Why? Because, honest to God, it got terrible ratings. And I went, trailer doesn't look that appealing. I remember talking about it way back when on the pod. I was kind of excited.
I would have seen it just for shoot, the guy with the name I can't say. Masanaka Nakawakis.
He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Is he Justin?
Oh, I can't remember the
Jason?
Name.
Jason?
Manak? Oh, golly.
I'll look it up.
Anyways, but I'm still going to end up seeing that movie because I want to be able to have an adequate representation of comedy,
sure,
in, you know, the movies this year for 2017. But yeah, there's just nothing. Like, if that's it, like, there's maybe a couple more. I mean, even last year, we were barely scraping by with some of the best comedies. But a lot of them were the more independent. Like, think of some of the best comedies that we said. Nice Guys.
Yeah.
More unknown, more independent, not a huge budget, like, not, like, big blockbuster as much. The Don't Think Twice, which was another independent made by younger comics, certainly, and that's like, yeah, Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah,
right. That's
did Judd have anything to do with that? I can't remember. I don't think so. It was all Judd. I mean, sorry, Judd.
It was all Mike. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was all Mike, and he had a lot of other, like, great comedians working with him in that. So
his name is Jason, and then it's Mantzoukas. Mantzoukas.
Mantzoukas.
All right.
Mantzoukas.
That's not as hard as I thought.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
It's M-A-N-T and then Zoukas.
That makes sense.
Pretty sure I know how to say Zoukas.
Next time on Pronunciation with Ben.
Got to get it right. Is that what we have for Judd? We want to talk about his stand-up?
Yeah, I really want to get into this. Yeah. His stand-up is so unique because unlike other stand-ups who, like, you know, you start stand-up, at, let's go with Jerry. Classic example. You start stand-up when you're young, you keep doing stand-up, and you are big because of your stand-up.
Right.
Judd started stand-up, and then eventually, while doing stand-up, doing writing, ended up doing a pitch for Ben Stiller's show, and then ended up working writing for the Larry Sanders show. I can't remember. There was a show that he auditioned for. I think it was Jim Henson. I think he wanted to be working with Jim Henson, and Jim said, I don't think you have the performance chops, basically. And not that his stand-up died, but like he
just started doing
he's
stuff.
He's doing writing and directing.
Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. Like, into all the stuff that he like launched into.
Amazing projects. So fast forward, you know, just a few years ago, he was working with Amy Schumer on Trainwreck, I believe.
Yeah.
And she would do like sets at the comedy club every now and again, like after they would finish filming, and he decided that he was going to do that. Like, oh, I want to do a set. Like, I want to go back out there. And it began like being a joke with like him and Amy. Like, oh yeah, you go out there, try to get some laughs. Like, that'll be really funny, Judd.
Yeah.
Like, and eventually like he did it and he was like, no, like I could still do this. Like, this is, I love this still. Like, this is so much part of like who I am.
Well, yeah, he said like once he went out there, did it like as just a joke, like, oh, I'm just gonna get Amy to laugh, and he did all right. He did decent.
Yeah.
And then he said after shooting of Trainwreck, he did it every single night. The club that he went to,
right,
was like, yeah, we'll let you you know, come in and
give you 5 minutes.
Yeah, give you 5 minutes when you stop by. Like that's a thing when you're like, no,
exactly,
you know what I mean.
Exactly.
You don't just get that if you're stopping by.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. Yeah, I've tried.
But so he was like, all right, I'll just go every single night and like get myself totally reacclimated.
Yeah,
which is awesome. Good for him.
And I actually got to see him perform at Largo. Pete Holmes did a show. He had Judd as one of like his friends there just doing another set, and it was really interesting because at the time, which was like maybe a year ago, maybe more, I didn't know that Judd was back doing stand-up, and quite honestly, I didn't know he had any recorded history of stand-up. I felt like I would have seen it. So I kind of thought like, oh, wow, this is like an interesting debut for Judd. Like, I didn't think he was known for this. And he had like this really, like two or three like really awesome like long-form story bits.
He's a prop comic, right?
No.
Not joking.
Damn, you suck.
Okay, yeah, long form story.
Yeah, and he pulled out like eight different wigs and a fire hydrant. No. So he did, what's funny you said that, because he did have a prop.
That's awesome.
It was a picture of him throwing the first pitch at a Mets game.
Okay.
And this story is the best build up for how he's a terrible athlete, how he embarrasses himself, and his kids and his daughters hate him, and blah, blah. He like goes to throw the pitch for the Mets game, and it like somehow like misses, like doesn't come out of his hands right, and like goes behind him.
What? How's that even possible?
And he said it was like the most embarrassing moment.
Oh my gosh, I want to look that up right
now.
Oh
my gosh. He said it's
hilarious.
Just so tragic. But he just spun it so well.
Yeah.
The audience loved it. And I mean, he was performing right after Sarah Silverman and right before like Bill Burr. So he's in between like two of arguably some of the funniest comics right now, and he totally held his own, and I was very entertained, and I look forward to the special that's coming out later.
Yeah, that's pretty rad.
So hats off to Judd.
Juddy, Judd, Judd.
You rule, baby.
So that's what we got for Judd, Mr. Apatow, the man, the myth, the producing legend.
Definitely.
Wow. Well, you're aware. Are you aware of what that means?
Time to get tested for sexually transmitted diseases.
No.
Oh.
Close.
Okay.
What else would you... What's another guess you would have?
Time for stalling.
That's right. This is the part of the show where I've been say some wacky facts, and the critics from Wacky Tomatoes give a corresponding percentage rating based on its overall wackiness.
Are you sure?
Not fully. Are you?
We'll find out.
Okay, here we go. Judd Apatow. Before he was famous, he asked his comedy hero, Steve Martin, for his autograph. But Martin refused. As he doesn't.
Scandal.
He doesn't give autographs at his home. Which is like, that's kind of a side note.
He went to his home? In his wacky pack? Yeah. Because that's what he used to do for interviews. For his radio show.
He would go to people's homes?
He would call them up, or he would call their manager and say, hey, I have a radio show from a high school. Can I interview Mr. Martin? And they would go, yeah, this and this time, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes he would end up at their residence. Oh, and wow. He would just be like sitting in a chair in their house. And like, he gets 30 minutes to interview him.
Wow.
And so he would. So I could totally see that. Like, look, kid, you got into my house. I'm not giving you a friggin' interview. I'm not giving you an autograph. But yeah. Also, like, Steve.
Yeah, come on. It's not like there's a bunch of people in your house.
It's just a kid.
It's just Judd.
It's just baby Judd. And now that's out on the interwebs for everyone to hear.
But okay, so this is so good. So he refuses to give, apparently he refuses to give autographs at home. But afterwards, Judd Apatow wrote him a nasty letter with some nicely praised profanity. And in response, Steve Martin sent him a copy of his book. And said, and wrote an inscription that said, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I was speaking to the Judd Apatow. I feel like that's so Steve Martin.
That is so Steve. Oh,
I love that
gosh.
So much. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I was speaking to the Judd Apatow.
That's so funny.
Ding, 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 ding. And he plays his band.
Ding, 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 ding. That's like the Electric Light Orchestra.
Not bad.
Oh, brother.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's very wacky. To start off with the facts, you're going...
I know, it's only downhill from here. But I would definitely frame that book in that inscription. I'd be like...
The Judd Apatow, yeah.
Pretty good.
That is pretty solid. And the critics agree, Ben. The critics averaging out here at a solid 87% wacky. Some critics even calling Steve Martin an SOB. Can't say that on the air, but you know what that means. He's a jerk.
That's awesome.
Like the movie he was in.
Wow, good pull. Okay, so here is wacky fact number two, which kind of sucks. So I'm going to improv a new wacky fact, but it's a real fact. Steve Martin.
Sounds good so far. I'll give that a solid 99%.
Oh, wow. Can't believe I would go up from there. Okay, Judd Apatow's favorite comedy movie would be Young Frankenstein.
Of course.
Where his favorite drama is Brokeback Mountain.
Whoa!
Little different.
Okay, that's so funny because that, like, could you think of a better opposite?
Polarizing, yeah.
For, I would have said The Notebook, but no, it's Brokeback Mountain.
Still more different. Yep.
Wow.
Pretty.
Is the opposite of, like, ridiculous over the top comedy, like, a fantastical romantic kind of piece, or like a realistic, like
crime thriller,
not crime thriller, like a realistic sad relationship movie? Like, which one is it? Isn't
Brokeback both of those?
It's not as like, it's not,
it's romantic and it's very sad. They don't get together,
right? But
did you know that?
I've watched
Colorado
it, like,
in the 80s.
I don't, yeah, I know what the movie is.
Is it in the 80s?
90s maybe.
Okay,
I don't remember.
I guess they weren't very accepting.
Either way, like, no, Notebook is like Nicholas Sparks, like over the top, like blah, 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 love and drama and stuff, and we die together.
Now, I still laugh at that.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, so the opposite.
So it's not
is,
the opposite. Right. Yeah. It's Broke.
Okay, that took way too long to get there, but it was worth it, folks. Thanks for hanging in there. The critics have given an adequate rating, and they say that is a solid. Ooh, close, 86%. Almost topped the last fact.
Oh, dude, we were way off. It's set in the summer of 63. Yeah, we were way off. I'm sorry, were you talking?
Yeah, so the 90s was a great time.
Excellent.
To be broke back.
Yeah, I bet you they would have like loved it.
Man, they would have been their primo.
Was it Colorado?
Okay, who cares?
I know. I care too much.
Oh, my word. Anyways, so the critics give it an 86.
Wyoming. Ben. I'm so sorry. 86. What? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, I improv that one, so I'll take 86 to heart.
Yeah.
Are you ready for number three?
Yeah, yeah.
Here it is. In 2007, he was ranked number one on Entertainment Weekly's top 50 smartest people in Hollyweird.
What?
Yup. What 2007.
Year? 2007?
2007.
Smartest seven, people in seven. In Hollywood? What? Like, what does that even mean?
Hollyweird, actually.
Is that a place?
No, I'm joking.
Okay, so then what does that mean? It like, means, people who were working in Hollywood at the time?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you got a lot of people who were working in there at the time.
Okay, calm down. 2005 gave us 40-Year-Old Virgin, and 2007 gave us Knocked Up, okay? So you are wrong.
No, I'm just interested. I don't refute that. I'm more confused by what that means.
2007 was also super bad.
Look, I know what
Talladega
years
was
were.
Right before.
Okay.
I'm telling you, he was like kicking and screaming. It was 2005.
He was top dog. I know he was top dog. I'm just interested. Like, what does that mean? Smartest person? Why didn't they just say the funniest person?
Well, first of all, it's Entertainment Weekly. I don't know if it's...
Hey, I subscribed to EW for about 4.5 years. That's some great content.
Okay.
Back off. Okay, rating. Very good. Ben, you get a 9%.
Dear Lord, I do. What
yeah,
about the fact?
The critic said the... Oh, sorry. I did read that wrong. Ben gets a 9%. And the
just
fact
on general podcasting,
the fact gets a 72%. They wanted
okay,
to make that. They wanted to make that distinction very clear.
Excellent. Excellent.
And they said, "What do you mean, smartest person in Hollywood? That doesn't make any sense." Yeah, that's what I was saying. Basically,
no. Oh my gosh, that's what you were saying. That's not what they were saying.
No, that's what it says. On
no,
the-
no, no, no. Because I made perfect sense.
Okay. No, they're asking Entertainment Weekly. Good content, but confusing title. Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying.
All right. Well, that's all the wacky facts we have.
Thank
so
God.
Do you know what that means?
It's time for me to leave.
It's time for Whale Mail of the Week. Hashtag.
And I'm proud to be an emailer can.
That's good. What do we got?
Oh, a little pitchy, dog. This week's Whale Mail reads, "Hey, dudes. I was wondering how many impressions you do. Like 10, Andre. Like 10, Andre." That seems like an adequate assessment.
Is that his
me.
Twitter handle or
no?
At like 10 Andre.
Oh, how many impressions, Ben?
Can I do?
This is what I'm gonna do.
So I'm assuming this person just watched Impressions episode.
Granted, that was our last episode,
and
they can't
now
really watch it, but I'm sure they listen. Okay. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do.
Now they wanted to know how many we can do.
I don't know the number, Andre the Giant, but what I can do is say a thing, and then Ben's going to try to do an impression of it.
What?
And we're going to keep
me?
Tally. It's going to be easy. I'm going to give you a low ball. No, I
don't want to give you a yeah, softball.
Softball. Low ball, softball, fastball.
You're low balling me?
I'm going to give you a sport throw, okay?
Okay.
And you're going to...
A ball.
Yeah.
Of
basically,
sorts.
We're going to keep tally of how many we got. All right. I'm going to say a thing, and then you're going to say a thing to me. You got it? And I'm going to keep tally.
Ready.
Okay. British.
Hello, Governor. How you doing today?
Ding.
Is that your turn?
Yeah, that was great. That
British.
Counts. I did... Oh, no. Say something different than British.
What, you can't do British?
I can do British.
There you go.
There
you go.
Too British.
I'm just going to repeat everything you said.
Okay, don't repeat
okay,
everything.
Okay, fine. Australian.
Hi, boy. What you doing over there with your dingoes and your babies?
Nice. Are you just telling all of ours?
No. Yeah, all
separate?
Of them
okay,
all
okay.
together.
Okay, yeah.
Sweet. Do
I'll be able to do more if I can piggyback off of you.
Do Chris Walken.
Chris Walken. Hey, I'm driving over here.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. Oh, let's see Ray Romano.
Hey, everybody. Ray Romano here. Deborah!
Ray Romano is sad Kermit.
Yeah, you're right. He is sad Kermit. Do Boston.
Park the car in the Harvard. Yeah.
Ding.
Yeah, dickhead.
There you go.
I don't know if that's...
That's good. Good.
Okay, how about the Fonz?
Hey!
Count it, ding!
Do,
oh my gosh.
Gosh, do an Indian accent.
Indian, Indiana Jones?
No, 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 like Middle Eastern.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm already offended.
Do it.
Good day to you, sir.
That's good. That counts.
Okay, get out of there. Okay, how about
unoffensive Japanese. Got it. Hello, mister. My name is Kyoto Nakamura. That's unoffensive Japanese accent.
I'm pretty offended.
No, it was very
okay. I was gonna say, do Jimmy Fallon.
We got a great show tonight, everybody. Stay tuned. We got the Roots playing tonight. Here we go.
Nice.
Not bad. Do Johnny Carson.
Weird. Wild stuff.
Yay.
Is that 10?
That's 10.
What?
I don't want to keep going.
Yeah.
A majority of those impressions,
I like that game.
We're just laughing back and forth.
Sure.
I should have, I saw this email and I should have written out a list of like 20 different things and tried done rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Don't care that much, Andre.
Aw, I do.
Just kidding. No, I care. Thanks for the email, dude.
Can you do Andre?
No.
Oh, yeah. Anybody want to team up? Oh, my gosh. There was a microsecond where I thought you were just, like, doing our listener like that. I was like, oh, man. He's starting with the mean ones. No, but that's good. That was excellent. Andre the giant.
The actual giant.
Okay, so thank you so much for emailing in, Mr. Andre.
Yeah.
RJ, if other people would like to do the same, where would you send them?
Well, guess what, folks? You can always find our podcast on the iTunes Podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Also, Patreon. You know the drill. You give us money, we give you content. Also, be sure to check out our Twitter page, @WhalePod, Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing, for the GIF of the Week. I'm trying to do that lately. I just figured out how to post GIFs on Facebook.
Gotta do it.
I feel so old. Because it's so easy on like everything else, but for some reason you gotta take the hyperlink and then remove the hyperlink, and then it's so dumb.
You got it.
I figured it out, folks. It's not hard. So, yeah, and don't forget to email us, just like Andre did, at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. You just click the link, send us a question, send us a request, send us a death threat. It doesn't matter. We're probably gonna read it. Probably. We read literally everything.
Yep.
That's how you get our email.
Excellent, excellent work. If you want to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, you can add him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And you can find Ben on the Twitterverse at Backyard in Hell. Hey.
That's good.
There we go.
So we are going to leave you with what we always leave you with, and that is...
Do you want to thank someone for our theme music, maybe?
I need to thank people. That's what we leave everyone with. That's what I was getting to, really. Thank you so much, Ben Sound, for our intro music, Wolfpack for our outro music, and the listener for tuning in. You're just a good person that we've never met.
You're pure of heart and true to what you know.
Yep. And tell a friend.
Tell a friend. I was thinking of that
telephone.
Thing we did. Telegraph, telephone. And tell your dad.
And now we will leave you with a saying that we always leave you with, and not the thanks. Comedy is all about
kazoos.
Smoking in the boys' room.
That too. That works.